welcome to Creative Block, where your hosts, V.
And Ian. We interview people in creative industries about their life, work, and hobbies while we doodle jam.
We asked people on our socials if they had specific topics they wanted us to discuss, as well as some drawing prompts.
Today, we have with us my good friend and amazing artist, Miguel Puka. What up? What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Ian? Hey, V. Thank you for having me. I'm huge fans of yours, and I worked with both of you, and it's a pleasure to be on the show and talk about what blocks my creatives.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get into that. I'm so excited that you were able to come on the show, because I know you were like really busy with work, so I'm so glad that you were able to make it. You've done so many things. You've done so many things in your career, because you've been a board artist, you've been a director and a showrunner, and that is so cool.
I always like to go back to the beginning, to the very start.
Oh, my origin.
Yeah, and like, were you a doodler as a kid, or did it come later? Were you always
Yes, I was a big time doodler, and I would draw on everything and anything I could get my hands on. Mm-hmm. So my dad was a butcher at Farmer John, and you know, growing up with ADD and just so much attention and energy, that my dad figured out how to calm me down, and he would bring like this giant butcher paper that I could roll.
Oh,
almost like 6 feet tall. Right. And it could roll out into like hundreds of feet. And I would sit, lay on the ground, and just draw and draw and draw every day.
Oh, and that's awesome.
I was like, I just love drawing, and it kept me out of trouble. Mm. It kept me calmed, and I was able to focus in and just like, oh, okay, cool. I could.
Was there something about like the act of drawing that just like felt good, like the sort of like movement of the pen? Or did you have like, because I know, look. We've gotten into it. I know you like comics, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Or did you have like an influence that, you know, like, I know, like for me, like I was with Saturday morning cartoons and comics, and I wanted to emulate that. I'm just curious if that was.
Yeah, it was comics for sure. I loved anything to do with comics. I loved reading comics. I wasn't good at reading books, but.
Same.
I just love everything like comics. Like one of the first comics I ever bought was a Street Fighter comic. And it was just because I was trying to impress my brother. Because I was like, I didn't want him to think I was lame. And so I got a Street Fighter comic. And I was like, see, I'm cool. And I used to love watching him just play games on a Nintendo. So I would read comics. He'll play games. And I'll just watch him play. And it was always a blast just watching my older brother, and just I always try to impress him. So whatever I could find out that he loved, I would draw. So it was a lot of Marios, a lot of Power Rangers, a lot of Street Fighters. His favorite character was Vega.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was always fun to kind of do stuff for the family, and that's one thing I always loved. Is like I would doodle, and then I'll give them to people.
Yeah.
I would draw like little sheets of paper and just get them. Even when I was a kid, to the point where one of my uncles or cousins told me, like, you should sell these.
Oh, yeah?
Like, yeah, I really sell these drawings.
That's cool. No, there's something really cool about you kind of get like when you're, because like I remember like doodling as a kid, maybe you can relate to this too. Like, if you can draw, it's like a magic power, and everybody's like, whoa, you can. Can you do this? Can you draw this? So, yeah, like...
You know what's funny? I feel like for me, when I was drawing as a kid, it was kind of like a way to connect with my group of friends, because it was just kind of like... I mean, I was kind of like... I didn't know what an OC was at the time, but for me, it was just kind of like a way to role play, kind of. So I never really gave my drawings to people. So that's why it's kind of funny that you were like just drawing and giving your drawings away, Miguel.
Yeah, I used to sell them for like, it was funny. I didn't know how to make copies. So in middle school, I love Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I made a little comic book based off of a Calvin and Hobbes comic. And it was, I called him Lightning Miggy.
Nice.
I drew the whole comic based off of a Calvin and Hobbes one, and I didn't know how to copy or use a copy machine, so I drew it like 15 times.
No way!
My hand hurt so bad, but
oh my god,
I didn't care for money. I was like, hey, people want to buy my comics, so I was selling it for 25 cents. And I was like, I was thinking about it, I was like, shit, I'm not making much of a...
like less than a penny, like, an hour.
Oh, that's my awesome. God.
Do it for the love. Do it for the
love. I'm still dumb like that, but...
That's hilarious. I remember when I was a kid, if I, like, liked something, like, to trace it, I would take a sheet of paper... and this put it on the TV, and the static of the TV would stick it, and then I would trace over
what was on. Dude, I tried to do that when I was a kid. When I was probably like around 10, I watched Cowboy Bebop for the first time, and I really liked the character Ed, and I wanted to draw that character, and I put the sheet of paper on the TV, and I couldn't see anything through the paper. I couldn't trace it. I was so mad.
Well, I did that too, because we used to we were stealing cable. Nice. And so like every second, like, it would freeze, and it would just kind of, it would be ghosted on my screen for like maybe 3 seconds. So I learned how to draw Scooby-Doo and all these different characters. I was like, oh my god, here. And it was pretty awesome because it got me to learn how to draw pretty quick.
Oh, that's crazy. That's awesome.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to jump ahead in time because I was wondering if you went to art school or like what that was like.
Yeah, I did. I went to the Art Institute in Los Angeles. They're no longer a school anymore for a good reason.
Oh, yeah? What does that mean?
well, they were pumping out so many artists without, and I think they were promising the world and they just couldn't find them work. And fortunately, they're just like, shoving VFX and 3D animation or anything to do with CG down our throats when a lot of us went into school wanting to learn 2D animation or anything to do with 2D, and they're like, no, you can't do that. And this is, you know, during the time where 2D was dead and it was all about CG, so they were really forcing a lot of us to like, you have to take this, if not you're done. You won't be able to get work.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a fear response. People are just like, oh well, you know, no one cares about 2D. I remember getting dissuaded to not go into animation because we're like, animation's dead, 2D animation's dead, and I'm like, yeah, but I think if you just are passionate and you like something enough and you're willing to like try, like you'll make it happen. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little naive, but.
No, and that's one thing I learned. I was like, I'm not going to give up on this dream.
Mm-hmm.
Glad I didn't, because I've been drawing. I've been doing working in 2D.
Yeah. So when you graduated, did you immediately get into animation, a gig, or did it take some time?
I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to know people that graduated before I even graduated. So even when I was a senior in college, actually, I had my first internship at Six Point Harness.
Oh, really?
So they were, I think, a brand new... They have already been established a bit. They've done some straight-to-DVD stuff. I think one of them that they're ashamed of was Chico and Wapple. show. It was terrible.
I remember this. Hold on.
It almost looks like Adult Swim, like one of the first Adult Swim cartoons.
So it's
all done
in like After Effects.
Yeah.
Symbols. That's
God. Look at you guys. Some nice drawings here.
Well, you're the one. You're the being interviewed, so I have time to draw.
Exactly.
I just say a question, and you're like, wait, I have to delve deep. So let's go. So you had a friend that. In school that gave you an internship at Six Point?
A friend of mine, his name's Daniel Stone, he told me about this internship, and he was like the top student at our school. He was an amazing artist, amazing draftsman. He could do everything, animation backgrounds. And everyone looked up to that guy, and he's like, hey, you want an internship? I was like, yeah. Well, first he told me it was a job. And I was like, all right, cool. So I took it, and like they interviewed me, they hired me, and they're only paying me like $300 as like a testing ground. And I didn't care. I would have done it for free. And I met Todd Ullman, who sat next to me. And V, you know Todd. Todd was a he's a character designer.
Yeah, on that house.
So I
Yeah,
met him
yeah.
back in 2006.
No way. That's so crazy.
I
That's
was
so
just a
cool.
kid, and I was like, all right. I drove everyone to lunch during that time, and while I was still going to school. And then they gave me internship credit after, because they're like, oh, well, sorry, it was only like a 3 month gig. And it was great because I had such a blast. I had no idea what I was doing, but they trusted me. They gave me a bunch of duties to work on, like storyboards, animation on Flash. And
Nice.
it was a lot of work for like a student. But I'm at Nick right now, and I'm seeing what the interns are getting right now. And I was like, are the artist program kids, like they're giving them like actual work. And I'm like, that's so cool. And when I
That's
was a
awesome.
kid, I was so afraid. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Did you think through that? That's where you found, kind of found your love of storyboarding, or did
Yeah.
you?
I've always loved storyboarding, even when I was in college. As soon as I learned about storyboarding, I didn't want to give it up, but I also wanted to become a character designer. And then because of school, I got really good at animating in CG, and I was like in this crossroad of like, what do I do? Where do I have to move? But every job I got offered, or every job that I got to work on, was storyboarding. And it was fun because I got to do everything in there. I got to animate, I got to make some characters, do some backgrounds, do some props, figure stuff out, because sometimes like when you work in animation, they probably don't have a character design done yet, and it's up to you, the board artist, to create it, even with incidentals. Where kind of wear these different hats as you're storyboarding, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's also like the closest thing to like comics. I feel like the three of us were kind of all really into comics, and I feel like storyboards is
Yeah.
kind of like the closest medium in animation, at least, to making comics.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But both of you, I just got to say, are masters at drawing,
Ah!
like no
Stop.
other. Because I see everything you guys do, and I'm just like, wow. I wish I had like the energy and dedication to like sit down and animate stuff or draw. Because sometimes I'm just like, I don't know how you guys do it, but I appreciate it, and I always look forward to all your drawings.
Wow, thanks, man.
But keep them
That's cool. See,
coming.
yeah, but you directed a movie
Yeah.
and are the
Yeah.
showrunner. That's why
Yeah.
I'm over here doodling on Instagram, and you're, I'm like, oh, I directed that
That's why
movie.
we get Miguel on the show. It's just so he can tell us how good we are.
Yeah.
But I say that now, and then I'm gonna be asking you guys like, hey, can I be a revisionist on your movie? Redirect.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because we've kind of talked about that like briefly on a couple other episodes. But have you ever in your career kind of gone up and down positions?
Oh,
And
that's a great question.
can you
That
like
is
talk
great.
about that a little bit? Like,
Yeah. I've been when I started off as a storyboard artist, and then I would jump around, because like when you work for smaller studios, like you kind of do dip you wear different hats. So jumping around from being a prop designer to a character designer to animating in Flash to, I did 2 years of freelance for Warner Brothers doing revisions. But at the same time, I was working as a storyboard artist. So I would take, because I don't know how some people do it, but I can't storyboard full time and then freelance storyboard at the same time, because I have a one track mind. So it was calming for me to do revisions, because I was quicker to like not think that much, or just like, okay, I just got to fix some mouth shapes and stuff and knock it out of the park, or
Totally.
clean up. Like a lot of the stuff, I did a lot of cleanup for the Looney Tunes show at Warner Brothers, and I got to work with Spike Brandt, who is an amazing animator, showrunner over at Warner Brothers, and I learned so much from that guy. So it was amazing just getting notes from him, and I still have some of his original drawings because he would just draw like Bugs Bunny like no other, and it looks just like, you know, Chuck
Dude,
Jones.
and the Looney Tunes are so hard to draw. Like I love watching the old school Looney Tunes, but like I worked on one Looney Tunes property and I was just like, God damn it. I hate drawing
They
these
are
characters. They're
so
so hard to draw.
tough. They are so tough. Yeah. But
Oh.
yeah, I'm, you know, I wouldn't mind going back to doing revisions here and there, just because like sometimes I feel you need a break. But
Yeah.
I haven't done revisions since then. But I wouldn't mind doing it like just to help out people, just to like, all right, you need some punching up. Or actually, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm punching up some animatics
Oh, cool.
in development. So there's always stuff. It's mostly revisions.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, you mentioned let us know if that's okay for us to say on the pod, but you mentioned that you have an overall with Nick. And could you explain a little bit what that means? Because I hear people kind of say that word every now and then, like they have an overall with the studio, but it's kind of like a little bit of like a nebulous word. Like, what does it mean?
Yeah, no, it so what it means is I have a show in development and I'm working on my show, but also an overall means like I get to help out other shows in different levels of development. So different, like maybe you have someone that that's pretty just pitched the show, their own show, and I'm helping them build their Bible. Or there's times where like I'm storyboarding a pilot for them, or I'm doing revisions on a pilot, or I'm punching up stuff, or I'm helping out with character designs, or I'm working with a writer to help, you know, make a book series into a kind of animation series. And on top of everything else, like I'm focusing on my project. So
How'd
that's
you
been a lot of fun. It's, you know, but it's development. It takes such a long time. As I don't know if you guys pitched before, I'm sure you have. I know for sure Ian has. It does take a long time to off the
Hey,
ground.
I got my own ideas about that, but
Uh-oh, y'all.
maybe that's for another
Oh, I think
podcast.
we start interviewing Ian now. What do you think?
Well,
Don't get me started.
we could get in the meat of development. I think it's kind of interesting to talk about it always.
Yeah.
But before we like go into it, I wanted to ask you, Miguel, like how it feels to kind of be in that spot where you're always kind of jumping around projects. Do you like it? Is it hard to switch gears, or is it kind of like, especially after being on the movie for so long, I guess, is it kind of more fun, or do you kind of miss the kind of one?
I think I work better in like little spurts. So like if you give me a like, you know, like a whole script to board in like 7 weeks, you know, I want to say this thing. V is a machine. We would get 7 weeks to storyboard on the Loud House. She would get it done in 2 freaking weeks.
No, you're literally,
No.
I didn't
And
do it in 2 weeks. I
I
did it in
know.
three.
I
I did
know.
it in three.
Yeah,
Okay.
okay, 3 weeks.
I did it in 3 weeks because I was. Here's the thing, everybody who's listening. I came from the French animation industry where you have to do your storyboards. When I left France, you had to do the 11 minute in 3 weeks. And it, like bef it used to be 4 weeks for an 11, but then they kind of started being like, actually now it's 3 weeks. And the way it is in France is that it's all unit based, which means that you only get paid for the 3 weeks. It's like, oh, here's the envelope. This is the amount of money you get. And if you go over the time, like if you spend 4 weeks instead of three, well, you still get the same amount of money. So for me, I was like, so basically,
Oh, no
technically,
way.
you're getting paid less because if you take more time, like they usually won't be too, they'll be a little bit mad at you, but not like crazy mad at you, because they're like, well, we're not paying you more money, so
Right.
but I was so scared that Loud House was going to be my first and last American gig, that I was like, I gotta stay on the French schedule just in case I have to go back to
No,
her.
it was great to see your work ethic is like I drew a lot of line ma mileage when it came to storyboard, but that was just my way to I kind of was taught to do it, because when I was working on Futurama, it was very much layout and storyboarding. So we had to draw every single little thing, and I learned so much from people that came from working at Disney and or The Simpsons. So it was their way of doing it, and that helped me out to figure out, like, all right, oh, okay. And this is something that a lot of people don't think about, is like, that's right, I gotta think about who's gonna touch these drawings. Like, that's right, an animator touch. If you don't give that information, they're gonna go wild and not give you what you want. So it's good to kind of go in there and really punch up, plus up, prove out whatever you need. But I, little by little, I started kind of breaking out of, like, I should draw like V someday. And
He's awesome.
Ian draws the same, like his like both of you have a really good shorthand. And I could only get this shorthand on like maybe 8 hours before I have to pitch. And it's always like,
It's always like a
some of my best
desperation,
drawings,
like,
like, I
about.
gotta finish it.
But your boards, I remember
I
seeing your
know.
boards a lot, and I was like, God damn it, like they're really clean. They're kind of like almost like a comic book, and your layouts are very strong. And I remember, like, when I was looking at everybody's boards at the beginning, because I wanted to make sure I was in the style of the show. And there's a lot of like compositions and layout that I saw you do, and I was like, oh, I never thought of this before. I never thought of like layering. I remember you had like a character that's like in, that was like in the middle of the screen, like kind of like a flat shot, and then all of the hands came in as an overlay and like pointing at the character. And I was like, oh damn, this is so smart. This is like such a good way to stage this, and it's so easy and clean and like economic for animation, like stuff like that. I remember like looking at your boards and I was like, man, that's smart.
Yeah, man. I remember on the movie seeing your stuff and being like, "Ooh, all right, I gotta up my game." You and Goose,
Oh
Gustavo,
yeah,
I was like,
Gustavo was
I mean,
crazy.
everybody on
Gustavo was
that project was heavy hitters,
awesome.
but
We were so lucky to have everyone, and fortunate enough. And by the way, I don't know if you mentioned this, Ian worked on the Casa Grande movie, and he did
oh,
amazing. Oh, it's already out. It's
oh
already out.
yeah, according to this, yeah, it came
It's
out and everybody loved it. That's
already out.
awesome.
It's been on the number one
Yeah.
block on Netflix for
Greenlit for
10
three more
weeks now.
sequels? I mean, just kidding.
Yeah, for people, if you don't listening, if you don't know why we're laughing, it's because we recorded this 2 months prior.
A week before the movie comes out.
Oh, by the way, here, this is, you can cut this out if you want, but I'm just gonna ask, are you gonna dress up for the premiere?
I'm gonna go semi-casual.
Okay, because I was thinking about coming out in like a suit and
Yeah, I mean,
being going
my wife
crazy.
was making fun of us. I was like, when you guys dress up, you don't even dress up. You guys just go like a hat or something. I was like, well, this time I want to do something special. And plus, Cristo Fernandez, who does the voice of Chipiti, is going to be there. So I want to have him sign my Ted Lasso jersey.
Oh,
Oh,
nice.
So
Danny
cool.
Rojas, football is life.
Oh
So
my God, he's the best. He's the best character. He's so funny.
he was so funny on the records. Like, it's
Oh.
that guy's awesome.
Is it getting like a
Sorry,
as and
that was a little here. We can come back to the podcast. I
no,
was just
yeah,
asking.
like getting a movie, like I mean, I guess like a TV star like this, is it kind of hard, or is it like, are they usually like excited? Like, what has your experience been getting talent like that on the movie?
Yeah, well, what's crazy is everyone, almost every time you reached out to someone on the series, we got them, and we were so fortunate to like have them, like, yeah, we're down, we're gonna do it. Obviously, we went to like a lot of Latino actors, and they're like, "I'm down. I never get approached by this stuff." So when we reached out to a lot of the actors for the movie, I had like, we had like our top five, and what's funny is about Chibiti, the Bungwari's dad, is I always had Cristo Fernandez in my head. So one thing that we do and we did on the Casa Grande is to, in order to get them like excited, like, "Hey, we want you to play this character." We'll kind of draw the character to resemble them,
Smart,
and
smart.
it works almost every time. And
I
it works 60% of the time every time.
60% of the time, every time. I love it. This is so funny.
And we did that with Cristo, and he said yes, and we were so pumped, and we're like, "All right, we're now, we were happy because we already cleaned up his bottle." And so we don't have to see his face. But yeah, it was great.
So,
Yeah, the drawings.
oh yeah, should we do the next page? Oh yeah, next page.
Yeah, I have like I started on the
Oh,
next
cool.
page, yeah.
So for the movie, was that something you pitched to Nickelodeon, or did they already have something in development and you kind of came aboard? Like, how did that come about?
They had discussed when we were ending, we found out that the series was ending. So they were like, but we still want to do it. We want to do a movie because Loudhouse got a movie, and it was right during the pandemic, and it was a hit. So they're like, "We want to do a Casa Grande movie." And we're like, "All right, who's gonna write it? Who's gonna do this?" So they got Lalo Alcaraz, who became the writer, and he reached out to me. I was like, "They want me to do this movie." I wasn't even signed on to do it yet. Like, "What should we do?" Goes, "Should we do it in Mexico?" I was like, "Yes, you have to go to Mexico, and they have to go to Michoacan because that's where my family's from, and I want to like honor them going to Michoacan because that's what I used to do every summer when I was growing up.
Nice.
Like, parents would take me in a bus and like, "All right, see you." We'll show up in 3 days, all stinky, smelling like bus. I just wanted to like I just fell in love with Michoacan, and I always wanted to do something like that. So I did one of my first drawings I ever did, or because they were going to present it to Netflix, was a Mexican flag, but instead of the eagle, it was Sergio, which we tried to use on the movie, but we needed to cut time, so we took it out. But it, I still have it, and I still want to use it somewhere. But that was one of the first things I did. And then so we kind of got to like writing, and it was a little too similar to the Loud House movie. So but I still wasn't signed on to it. And then I want to say this because I want to say a huge thank you to Darlene Camaño, who was working at Nick during the time part of the movie, and with Ramsey Nadel. So they called me on the Zoom, and I hope I'm gonna mention this when I'm talking about it. They called me on the Zoom, and Ramsey asked me, "Miguel, do you want to direct the movie?" And Darlene was nodding yes, but not saying yes, just like, "Direct the movie, or do you want to co-direct the movie?" And she was like, "No." So I was just like, and I was like, "I want to direct the movie." And they're like, "Yes, that's what we wanted to hear. All right, cool."
Is so funny. Oh
But
my
I was
gosh.
they I want to give it up to both of them because they believed in me, and they nurtured me. And even though I was afraid to do it because I've never I think I worked on like the I did I worked on the Loud House movie just for a second, but I think what I pitched, they really liked. And in the Loud House movie, they gave me the section to like clean up and then pitch some ideas for Bobby Casagrande, Santiago Casagrande, to get to Scotland. So I picked this whole other, like, it could be like a minute mini film of just him traveling all over the world, getting closer and closer, but then being ending up on a boat and then heading back to the US. So he's still trying to get closer and closer, riding on bikes, on motorcycles, on a car, on different animals. All the animals are joining him. And what was great about that is that I got to play and have fun, and they're like, "Oh, that's so great, but we can't use it. I'm sorry." The studio kind of saw what I did, and they're like, "Hey, that was pretty fun. So it'd be nice to do like something like a tra another travel movie." So when I signed on, I got to work on the script and help out. We went through a few writers, and then with it took almost a year to kind of figure it out, because we were still wrapping on the Casa Grande series.
So you're like pulling double duty.
Yeah, so it was. I was working on my development project too at the same time, so I was juggling things.
Oh, wow. So you've been developing for a while on that other
Yeah, I
project.
pitched it in 2021, and in my head I was like, "Wow, I could do both," because Kyle Marshall is doing he was doing both at the same time, like he was
Kyle is
developing
also a
his
beast.
project and he directed another movie that's going to come out this summer. And he was able to do it. I was like, "That's so cool." But the studio was like, "Nah, no, you can't do both. It's stressful. It's your first movie. We want you to focus on one thing. So what we're gonna do is put that development project on hold, and you're gonna focus on the movie." And I was upset. I was like, "I want to do both. I could do both." But I'm so happy I didn't do both, because I got to experience like some awesome people I got to work with, like Ian, and I got to work with Darren McGowan, who became who's my head of story. And I
Darren
got
is
to work
awesome.
with some amazing people, some amazing feature people, amazing like TV people, and we all wanted to step up because this was our first movie. And we did, and we kept showing up, and every screening we had, it was just an amazing time. Even to from the development stage, like Miguel Gonzalez, the art director, Cowie Zucchini, the associate art director, they brought the fire. They elevated this movie to where it's at, and I wish we could get a art of book of just a movie,
Oh
because
my God, it'll be so cool.
even our visual development, we had so many
Oh
amazing people
yeah, the
on.
stuff that Justin did.
Yeah, Justin Noel did some amazing ukumus, which
By this time you'll
you
understand
know what it is. And there was
who
no way we could animate this character, because he was just massive, full of lava and fire and magma, and it was just
Kumu is.
all crazy stuff. But yeah, we had a lot of talented people join our team, and I'm so happy, and I thank them in my head every day. I don't
Oh, that's so cool.
know if I answered your question, but yeah.
No.
Anyways, I got to work with two writers, Tony and Becky, and we sat with them for, I want to say, 2 months every day, just trying to work on this story. And it went from like different angles of this story to the point where, like, it was where it's at right now, and I'm so happy and grateful for them, because they really did an amazing job, and they wrote the Rise Tur Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Rise movie,
Oh, nice.
and they show ran, I think, the Santiago de Seas, but
Oh, nice.
they were amazing to work with, and they probably hated me because I was like, "No, we need to get this done." Oh, and the reason why I was on Zoom every day with them, not just because, like, I'm not an asshole or anything, but we needed to get this movie done, because the movie was supposed to start in November of 2021, but because the script was ready, and it wasn't their fault, they were brand new, they came in to kind of punch it up, but they rewrote it. We came up with a new story, and we didn't start until May of 2022, and we thought like they were just gonna add on that time that we missed, but no, they're like, "Well, you lost that time, so you just have to crunch and get it done in a shorter amount of time."
Oh my God.
So.
No, I remember, you know, it was, I mean, I had a blast on CASA. It was a great time. But yeah, I remember we were getting it done. I wouldn't say we're crunching. I never felt like, I don't know, I attribute this to you as a good director, but I never felt like we were, you know, like there's no time. It always felt like we'd find the time and it was always worth it, so it was just great. Do you feel like you have the feature bug now? Like you want to keep doing more movies, or would you have?
Dude, I would love to do more movies, and you know, I know it's like this is my first movie, and even if I'm not at the level to work under other feature at a different studio, because I know they have their own people, but I would love to do another movie for sure.
Well, you're definitely at the level. You got
Wait till you see the finished movie. Oh, you already saw it. What do you
it.
I
did, yeah. Everyone loves it. Don't you know?
think?
Have you read all the articles that
How would you describe your directing style and philosophy? Like, how do you go about directing?
I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ian, because you were there. I like to consider myself an inclusive director, where I want to get everyone from the team. Doesn't matter if you're you're in production or an executive assistant. I want to hear your thoughts, because animation is collaboration, and why it's good to hear from people. Because even when I was like, you always hear that thing where like, oh, don't speak up. If you're not at the table, you can't speak up. And you know, on Loud House, I was always itching to like pitch ideas during like board pitch meetings. And I just felt like I never had that place until I finally like, you know what? I don't care. I'm just gonna speak up. And I did, and they actually listened. They liked my ideas. Like, oh, okay, cool. Because I would like think about it after pitches. I was like, man, that episode would be funny if we did this, or if we messed this up. And I'll go and I'll, you know, I'll tell the director, like, hey, what if you did this for this episode? Like, hey, that's a good idea. And I never, it's because like I, you know, I trusted them, and they were cool with me, so they're all right. But that's what I wanted to do on the movie. I wanted to kind of include everyone, because we're so attached to this movie that it's like they all take ownership of it. And it was a great opportunity, because Ian, you were there when after one of our screenings, we're like, we got straight to work and like, all right, what do you think? What, how do we make this better? How do we punch this up? And
No, it
it
was
was
great. Yeah, I mean, I love that. You know, it makes everybody, I think, put their best work forward when they feel a sense of ownership. And you were like, everyone here is a brain. You're not just like another hand of mine. You know, you're like I you were you know and that's how I direct as well. You know, I'm like, I want to hear what excites, like here's why I'm excited for you to board this scene, but I also want to know like what is it, you know, what excites you about this script, you know, because then like when you have that energy and you're like, oh, I want to do this and this and this, and it's like, oh, I can't wait to see it, you know, when you have that passion as opposed to just being like, here you go, get it done, you know. And you know, I don't know if there if one way is better, you know, I mean, I don't know what you think, but I don't know if there's like, I mean, that's how I prefer to do it, but you know, maybe some people like that direction, that being like very direct and being like, I need this, this, and this, and they're like, thank you, okay, and they just go for it. All kinds of different people. I'm not trying to talk shit. Well, maybe I am, I don't know, but you know.
Oh, you need it sometimes, and sometimes you just kind of, I mean, you have to be
Sometimes
direct with some
it's
artists,
true.
'cause like, that's the only way they understand. And other times, like, just do whatever you want. Like, just, I trust you could do it. And that's why I had, I can, like, I think I had, you know, working on this movie was definitely like the best experience of my career. And I enjoyed every single day I worked on it. Even like on the stressful days, it was good. It was rewarding, because I got to do it with people that were, you know, I consider, you know, friends now. And And I got to give it up to Darren McGowan because he had my back. I trusted him.
Love
Like
Darren.
I was able to like, all right, I'm being pulled to like 25 meetings. Darren, I trust you with the board artist. And I think he wrangled everyone.
Yeah.
He would tell me like, dude, this guy Ian, you should give him this sequence just to shut him up for 2 weeks.
Let him go for it. Yeah, I always have ideas. That's my problem.
But Ian came in, he came in clutch because we would get him like, dude, big monster fight. You want to do it? And he's like, yeah, I'll do
Nice. Yeah, Darren is
Yeah.
awesome. He also came from so was it Rough Draft? Did you
Yeah.
guys meet back in on Futurama?
I met him on Futurama. Yeah, he was my assistant director on one, like two episodes.
Oh, so you were directing on Futurama as well.
No, I was a storyboard artist. He was an
Okay.
assistant director.
I
So he
see.
worked with the director. Yeah, no way. Actually, I have a funny story about Futurama, Rush Draft. They offered me, that's when I got a job to work on Fairly Odd Parents right after the end of season 10 of Futurama.
Oh, yeah.
After I told them, I was like, oh, I got a job offer, so I'm gonna take it. They offered me a assistant director job. Yeah,
Really?
like we had plans for you.
I love that it's like a sitcom laugh. It's so funny.
So when was your first gig at Nickelodeon? Because you've been at Nickelodeon a long time. Like this is you're kind of a staple.
Yeah, 12 years. So I worked on Fairly Odd
So
Parents,
that was your first one. Okay.
the Poochie season. Oh, I mean the Sparky season. They introduced a dog, and then they never introduced him again after that. So we call it the Poochie and the
Poochie.
Simpsons. And then I did a stunt on Breadwinners for about 4 months, and
Yeah,
I
that
was,
show was
remember
fun. That was a really fun show, but
yeah,
it looked really hard.
it was hard for me because it was a quick turnaround to get these boards done.
Was in Flash too, right? You boarded
It
in
was
Flash.
quick, but at the same time, I was doing full-time freelance on a lot of the Butch Hartman pilots. And it was hard. And I just had a baby, and it was tough because I wasn't sleeping. I was boarding full time and boarding freelance full time. And I needed something easier. So they moved me. I got to move on to Shimmer and Shine,
Oh,
preschool
nice.
series, which was the worst experience of my career.
Oh, really?
I wasn't the right vibe, and
Yeah, another
I
good
don't think
match.
anyone that was boarding on it on season one was the right vibe because they needed to punch it up to make it funny, but then we made it too funny where some of the people that worked on it didn't like it and they gave us a hard time, and it just wasn't a fun show to work on. So luckily, what came after, I think I lasted like 7 months on it. And they offered me a job for a new show at Nick. And I had other job offers,
Yeah.
but I was like, I don't want to leave Nick. I like Nick. So that job was the Loud House. And I ended up being one of the first board artists that they hired. And I think I was there for like maybe 3 weeks before anyone came on.
Wow.
So I was just sitting around. I was like, all right, what do I do? So I started kind of drawing and figuring out stuff. And I got to meet everyone and kind of figure out like how a show gets started. So it was pretty fun. I got to see the first rendition of Ronnie Anne, who was a redhead.
Huh.
And I remember telling the creator, I like, all right, Lincoln has like three redhead friends. Why is this one a redhead too? Why can't she be a Latina? And,
It came from you. Oh my
yeah.
gosh, that is so cool. I didn't know it, like Ronnie Anne got figured out that early on in the show because she didn't
Yeah.
appear until like episode like maybe six or something, like six or seven. That is
That's
so
right.
cool.
She was
Wow.
in my very first episode, Heavy Metal, but we never got to see her. We
Yeah,
just flew
exactly. The show was
up.
pretty good in season one where like there was like a lot of like mystery, quote
Yeah,
unquote, where it was just yeah.
the parents' face. I got to reveal them in the Christmas special or the
That is
Christmas
so
special movie.
cool. Yeah.
Super awesome to do.
That's so cool.
And Yeah, and ever since I've been at on the Loud House, and then I jumped over to Casa Grandes. But funny thing about Casa Grandes, it was on season two when we did Relative Chaos, and there was rumors about like, hey, we're gonna do a spin-off, but nothing really happened. So Disney came knocking. I was like, hey, do you want to direct a pilot over at the Mouse? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I'll love to work over there. So I jumped over, and it was a pretty cool pilot.
Yeah.
It was very much like Casa Grandes. And
Oh.
I was like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, but Casa Grandes did this, so let's do this instead. And they're like, no, we want this instead. And
Can you
I
do
was
it
like,
more like
oh, crap. All right. But it was a great experience because I got to see like the first stages of development and just kind of pitching and retooling stuff, working with some amazing artists like Bobby
Yeah.
Pontillas and a lot of people. That it What's great is what was amazing about it, almost everyone I worked with on that pilot, I ended up hiring to work on Casa Grandes.
Oh,
So
nice. The show
nice.
or the movie or
The
both?
show.
Oh, nice.
So it was pretty fun because it was like my testing ground. I'm like, oh, you're a cool person, I'll hire you. So that was pretty fun because I got to work with some awesome people.
Thank you, Disney. Thank you for
Yeah, thank you,
your
Disney.
and when
And it
that's
was
the
amazing.
good lesson, because it's like when this thing, falls through or doesn't kind of like, it's like, oh, well, just that led to this other like opportunity. Like it was like,
Yeah.
oh, well, I met, I don't know. It's pretty cool. It's kind of like when Yodorowski tried to make Dune, but
Yeah.
then it failed. But then all those guys went on to make Alien.
That's
It's like
true.
pretty, it's like,
That's true. And that's why, I was like, man, Disney is so smart. And they reached out to the right person to work on it.
yeah.
We did like a full, almost a full animatic. But
Oh.
then that's when I was already hearing, like, I kind of I spread the rumor at Nick. I was like, hey, geez, Disney has a Mexican American show going on over there. And what's going on at Nick with the Casa Grandes? I think that helped get the Casa Grandes out
Yeah.
to the whole
I love when you're a little gossip. I know
market.
you're always like that.
You're like, I don't know. I just heard something. I heard a rumor. I don't
Oh,
know
bird.
what you know.
Because I remember on Loud House, sometimes you'd be like, ooh, I hear studio this and studio that,
Yeah.
or like getting these kind of ratings. I'm like, how does he find out all this stuff?
I light a
Always
little
hear.
fire under people's
But yeah, it was an amazing time, and then I just got to do the movie,
Yeah.
and it was great. It was such a fun time.
Do you, so, you kind of talked about this earlier, but do you have any, like, I know you're a big comic guy. Do you have any interest in exploring that outside, or is it just, there's just not enough time?
I always wanted to do comics, and I try to dabble. I did some comics, The Loud House.
Yeah, I was
And
gonna
really,
say, I think you did a couple. How many issues did you do for Loud House? Like,
not full issues. I think I did maybe four or five comic stories, but I really got to flex that muscle, and I loved it. It was a lot of fun to do because I got to do the whole pencil mileage there. And I got to, they actually liked what I was doing, and it was a lot of fun because one of my favorite ones was a Musclefish comic that I did. And that's the type of things I always wanted to do, was like cool action. And comics have always been my love, because my first love, because like I always loved Marvel comics. I collect comics now, and it was great to do it, and I got to do it on the Loud House. But it was a lot. It was time consuming, to the point where like I didn't have that much. Storyboarding and doing comics is a lot of work.
Oh,
And me and
yeah.
Elaine, you both do it, so it's always a blast to see your work, like I mentioned before. But yeah, I wish I had that time to work, like just sit down and like, all right, draw.
Kind of like,
Yeah.
I know you just kind of wish, like, there's like 38 hours in the day.
Oh yeah. I feel like there's, yeah. Also, Ian and I, we don't have kids, so I feel like that also frees up a bunch of time.
Yeah, you got to be like a good father.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play video games. No, I'm just kidding.
I know, right? We get to be like little shits all the time.
You have to set an example. I don't know. Oh, go ahead, sorry, man.
No, I like to doodle every now and then, but you know, it's like I carry a sketchbook in my car.
Nice.
But it's not like I'm like, oh, I'm gonna post it. Yeah, it's just I always have that imposter syndrome. Like, oh, I suck.
That's
crazy that you still have it, because I feel like,
I know, you're so good.
I don't know, you have like so much experience, like you've been on like so like success. You've been on on Futurama, which is a huge show, like
300 drawings and I just draw one.
Yeah, but you're talking, we're making you talk, so no, because and you've only worked on like hit shows, like all the shows you worked on are hits, so it's like it's almost like it's all thanks to you.
Yeah. No way.
You're the secret sauce.
All three of us. You hear that, animation industry?
I know you're listening. Should we talk about the titular question?
Oh, creative block? Yeah. Do you experience creative block? And if you do, what does it feel like for you? And how do you deal with it?
Yeah, so I do. I do hit that block every now and then, especially staring at a blank page when you have the storyboard.
Mm-hmm.
It's what helps me is like get up, walk away, and then I like to kind of zone out and focus. Sometimes that happens like at 10 o'clock at night, and I just like, I gotta jot stuff down. But if I watch it, like I throw in a, I need to always listen to something while I draw.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a movie that I've seen, like the best movie in the world, Willow.
Oh, that's your movie. That's your go-to movie. That's awesome.
That one or Die Hard with the Vengeance. And nice. I'll just sit and draw, and then I'll start thumbing.
Mm.
Thumbing always gets me going, because then that gets me to the next square. So what I like to do on my storyboard panel, I do little squares, and then I'll just start thumbing right there. I'll thumb and thumb and thumb and thumb.
Yeah.
And that kind of helps me get it out of the way. Even when it's coming to a character design, like I'll do the same thing. Like I'll just do little doodles here and there. But it's hard to get out of that funk sometimes. You know, especially coming out of the pandemic, you're just stewing in your chair. Like, I need something to help me out.
Yeah.
That's why, like, for you two, it's so easy to see you guys, like, just sit down and draw. It's because you guys do it all the time. And with me, I don't do it all the time. And it's...
That's so true. What you're talking about, I noticed that happens to me too. It's kind of like inertia. It's like, yeah, if you stop, it's kind of like, I imagine it like a boulder. And if you're like, you got the boulder going, and then it's like, it's rolling no problem. At the moment you stop, like getting it started again, ooh, it's like, it's so hard. But you know that it doesn't, I don't know. For me, that's kind of what I tell myself now. I'm like, okay, it's not going to take that long to get the inertia going again. So I know it's going to be hard only for like a week or two, and then it's just going to be easy peasy. But like, it's, that helps me going, because I'm like, okay, so it's only 1 or 2 weeks where it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But it's so true. Yeah, what you're saying is so true.
And also, like, I'm a big time procrastinator. That's why, like, if I work better in bursts. So yeah, if you give me something and like it's due in 2 days, I'll get it done. If you give me something to get done in like 7 weeks, like, oh, like I said,
you'll wait till the last 2 days.
It's like the best work. I could do, you know, 3 weeks of work in like 2 days, and I'm just like, oh, which is a terrible habit, and it's not healthy at all.
Yeah,
that's like, you know, you kind of have to make these lists to help you. And this is something I learned from Kyle Marshall. He'll make lists of what he needs to get done in that day. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't, like, he just has to work even harder the next day. So it's like, all right, I got to get all these scenes done, all these sequences done. And It's super
Yeah.
helpful, and it never worked for me.
It's so helpful. I feel like I literally like have so many little sketchbooks where actually now my quote unquote sketchbooks are like mostly just like to-do lists. And I feel like even if I don't get through the full to-do list, even if I do 80% of it would still be more than if I didn't do the list at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I just kind of, and I really got in the habit of doing that. When I read that book, what was it called? No, I didn't even read the book. I just like watched the like inspirational video to like promote the book. That was like, I think it's called like the 5 a.m. club or something, or like the whole spiel is like, you gotta wake up at 5 a.m. and then the first hour of your day is just, it's your hour where you do whatever you want. And this is the best way to split your hour in productive tasks. So the first 20 minutes, you like
Oh, yeah.
exercise, and then the next 20 minutes you like read or watch something inspirational like a TED talk, and then the last 20 minutes you like are supposed to do like your to-do list and like plan your day. I don't wake up at 5 a.m. anymore, but I tried it and I was like, yeah, it's pretty good advice.
That's cool. That's awesome.
No, that's good. I try to. Yeah, I definitely relate to that inertia. Like, I feel like if I stop drawing for a decent amount of time, I'll start to suck really bad. So I have to, like, it's almost like a muscle. It's like training it, keeping, that visual vocabulary. But yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I try to draw or doodle every day, but when I get down to it, like it does, like it's like that block. You gotta get over that hump or that wall.
But I
And
also
once I
like,
get
oh, sorry.
past, just like, yeah.
But I also like that you said to that to, you walk away from it. And I've been thinking about that a lot recently. That, that because you just put your head space in a different, and sometimes, that thing that was like blocking you
Yeah.
releases, and you just like,
Walk
oh,
away
there
from
it
it.
is, got it. And you do like 20 drawings.
And it's like you're almost like pumping yourself up like when you're walking away because you're like, all right, I know what I gotta do. I gotta do this. I know what scene. All right, cool. I'm gonna start with this shot and then go up. Boom. All right. I try to rush back to my office and boom, just draw. It's always that. And it's cool that Nick has swings that you get to kind of swing back and forth. It's amazing.
Is there anything that you want to plug or like talk about before we wrap up the episode?
Yeah, I want to plug the Casa Grande movie, and if you haven't watched it, watch it again because we had so much fun doing, and we added so many Easter eggs in there from like the series or just like stuff we wanted to add in there. And hopefully, by the time I get to talk about this or this comes out, maybe I shouldn't say that, but I have another project. I have two projects in development, and hopefully, they're out by then, and I'm able to talk about it. I drew two of them on here. And hopefully, when you see him, you'll get to see him. And it's like, I know what Miguel was working on.
Wow, that is so
Yeah,
cool. You heard it first on Creative Block, folks.
baby. Yeah. No, this is awesome, man.
Thank you for
Yeah.
having me. Huge fans of V and Ian and Creative Block. Thank you. And I can't wait to keep listening to all of you and hopefully work together soon. And maybe you'll hire me as your executive assistant.
Oh, that would be a
I
dream. Oh my
mean,
God.
yeah,
Thank
you to be my
you
executive assistant. No,
so
dude, I would love to
much.
work together again. I had a blast,
Oh, thanks.
so it'll
Yeah,
work.
I hope we ever get we if we get the chance, like we get to do another one and just kind of make some magic, all three of us.
Oh, heck
Oh,
yeah.
that'd
That
be
would be, that's a dream. That would be a dream. Dream team.
come on,
Yeah,
Nick,
let's
get
do
it
it.
together. You want
Yeah.
this creative energy. It'll
All
be great.
right. Thank
All
you
right,
so
dude.
much. And I appreciate everything and everyone working on this. Thank you again for editing all my stuttering and please make me sound like Beyonce.
We
Yeah.
shall do that.
We'll put a voice, yeah, filter on.
And that's the end of this creative blog, Miguel. Thanks for being our guest and sharing your story.
And thanks to our listeners. Follow us on social media at CRTV Block, where we ask for drawing prompts and questions for our guests. Huge thanks to our editor, Clements, for editing the podcast, Marco, for helping us produce the show, and Abuka for creating the short clips we've been putting out.
If you love our show, you can support us on Patreon. Becoming a patron gets you early access to interviews and access to a Discord community. You can also support us by liking, subscribing, commenting, all of this fun stuff. It helps like the algorithm play in our favor and get more people to listen. And the more people who listen, the more ad revenue we get. So it's a free way for you to give us more money. Click the link in the description of this episode to follow Miguel on all social medias and to access our Patreon. I've been your host, V.
And I've been your guest host, Ian. Keep being creative, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. I love you. Bye.